Welcome to the World Happiness Podcast.
A space to remember that happiness is not just a destination.
It's who we are.
And when we become happiness and cultivate inner peace, we become living catalysts of transformation.
Lighting the path for others to awaken.
To heal.
To thrive.
Through each conversation, we explore how remembering and embodying our true nature
is an act of collective healing.
And how consciousness and happiness
are the bridge to lasting peace.
Take a breath.
Tune in and join us, not just to listen,
but to expand consciousness and happiness
to every corner of the world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to a new episode of the World Happiness Podcast. Today, we are joined by someone whose work has transformed the life of countless children, families, and educators all around the world, and whose presence really radiates this joy, warmth, and authenticity in every moment. Howard Glasser is the founder of the Children's Success Foundation and the creator of the Nurture Heart Approach, that is a transformative methodology that helps children, especially those who are most intense and challenging, discovering their own greatness. He has a background in family treatment, clinical studies, and in educational leadership, and he has become one of the most influential voices in the movement to reduce children's reliance on psychiatric medication and to awaken their inner brilliance instead. So you see the power and importance of his work. He's also the author of over 15 books that includes Transforming the Difficult Child, Notching Up the Nurture Heart Approach, and Igniting Greatness, within many others. And more than all those extraordinary accomplishments, Howie is a being of deep happiness and joy, someone who not only teaches greatness, but that actually embodies it. And I've had the privilege of spending the time with him in Bhutan, in Peru, and each time he has shown up with the same generous spirit, humility, kindness, and contagious sense of delight for life.
Hi, I feel blessed to be with you.
Be very welcome, Howie. And well, I think all the topics that you approach, and every time that I've heard you in Bhutan, in Peru, and the online fest that we also did, it has been super interesting, the approach that you and Sagara also share. Because I think this is super, super important in the education field, to treat children in such a different way. So first of all, I would love to ask you, what was the inspiration for you to get involved in all these topics?
You know, life is quite accidental, if you haven't noticed. It kind of turns you this way and that way. I was a kid who struggled with my intensity. And I believe that kids who have more life force, more energy, also have a need, a concurrent intense drive to have connection with other human beings. And as a kid, I struggled between, you know, seeing the beauty of being invisible and going under the radar, but I also deeply wanted to be seen. But the only route I found that I could consistently obtain was being seen through being negative. You know, when I did things well, I was pretty invisible. And when I did things poorly, made bad choices, I was good at that. I was talented at that. And I became masterful of that. So lo and behold, I studied psychology, of course. And when I got to work with families and kids, I saw the pain for everybody. I saw the pain for the family, the parents. I saw how hard they were trying to be influential. And I saw how much pain the child carried. And I noticed that there were some things parents said, unbeknownst to them, that seemed to bring kids in. And I saw some things that parents said that created distance. And they didn't know. And it had nothing to do with the words, because they might have been saying something really cool and urgent, and deeply caring, but the child grew further apart. And so it just became evident to me, almost like I had mysterious vision where it was beyond the intention of the words. It was the energy that kids were interpreting their parents by kids who had fallen into this problem of getting, as I did, relationship more reliable, better broadband connection through negativity, that they were watching. They were simply seeing when they were putting two and two together in a way that their parents didn't understand. Their parents thought they could be reasonable and logical and just simply make sense. Howard, it's important for you to be respectful to your friends. That'll go a long way in life. That's going to make a difference in everything you do. And they're saying something and going blah, 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 blah for 10 minutes. And I am weighing it by way of I just got 10 minutes of them. Not only did I get 10 minutes of them, I got them excited. I got them being deeply profound in their choice of words. And when I am respectful, I barely get anything. So I saw how often that was the case. And I started to the I'm a, I was a good at being defiant. I started being defiant. I started flying in the face of that and experimenting. Can I When kids aren't having problems, when the issues aren't happening, can I then go, pal, you're listening, I'm yakking away and I'm taking up all the dialogue, and I notice that you're still deeply listening. And it's not an accident. It's quality you have inside you that makes you a great listener. I value that. That's meaningful to me. To me, it shows your empathy and compassion and true desire to hear what people say. Those are beautiful qualities I see in you. So can we say things meaningful to people that help contribute to them maybe going, oh, wow, I do have those qualities. That is me. I am a great person.
I consider that mind-blowing, Javi, because I've known you for a bit now and I've listened to you talk about the nurture heart approach, but knowing also the background and what led you there, it's amazing. And I think it's a topic super important because what you're saying is we as adults, I don't have kids yet, but I've worked with many kids. We as adults, I think we are not having the skills to translate what kids are telling us, right? And we expect them to be as mature and to talk the same language as us. Kind of, I always have kind of that fight with the educational system in which we try to get the kids into same models, right? Instead of trying to understand them and as part of your job to get them their own voice of greatness. Right. So this work, I found it profoundly important for educational work. And I feel so many times is we focus on of course, like the problematic or the intense children, as you call them too. And I also have heard in other programs that works with children, it's like the kid that always works perfectly and has a well behavior, they also suffer, right? And they because we as adults, we have not this knowledge and this training on how to make the kids authentic, not make them, just let them be authentic and work around that. So I found this super interesting. And what is then the approach? I saw you did some of the work you do with a nurture heart approach. But what then if people and parents and teachers also are struggling right now? And I think every time more as technology increases and everything that we face in the modern world, what is the approach then for these kids that intense and non-intense too? But from all that you research and all that you experience, what does this nurture heart approach talks about, and what is the nurture heart approach?
Yes, I want to add a sentence to the front of that. Is that there are so many wonderful people in education and treatment and in parenting who have programs that are so well conceived. And my point, as I tell you about the approach, which is what I hear you asking, is that all those programs can be so much more empowering if they understand when, they understand the cadence, the rhythm of teaching, that teaching is best, from what I've observed, when we're imparting the important information we're trying to convey, and we're also at the same time not dancing with a, like a, I'm trying to think of an analogy where we actually know we have a dance partner, that we're dancing with that human being, and we could be authentic with that human being. We're just not pouring information, you know, through a spout into their brain. We're actually dancing our way through relationship. You know, the intervention is how we show up in relationship always. So as I said before, intense kids are very prone to watching the truth of the world, their world, and arriving at a impression. They get more out of life through negativity. They get us to show up. They get a greater gift of me or you or everybody else. And so the first step in nurture heart approach, stand one, is absolutely no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to prove to the child that that's no longer the case. Yes, they may do some negative things, and I'm going to hold them accountable. But my first and foremost job is to refuse to fall into that trap. Because the more I fall into the trap, the deeper that impression gets. And I've known a lot of positive people. I've met so many positive people along the way who don't get anywhere with these kids, who stumble when it comes to working with these kids because they haven't accomplished that step first. Once you accomplish that step, once you have that going to some extent, then pour it on. But most people, they think a positive and they say, thank you, good job. And the more positive they are, the more frequently they say, thank you, good job. I'm not against thank you and good job. What I am for, though, is if we notice something that we're wanting to appreciate, that we use the word thank you and good job as a stepping stone to saying more. Be very deliberate about what qualities do we want to be enhancing of in that child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're famous in I think across cultures for teaching lessons about respect and compassion and responsibility when there's been a problem. And I'm saying the best way to be positive, stand to, absolutely yes, I'm going to be positive, but I'm going to do it with my eyes open. I am going to be purposeful when both when good things are happening to say more. Here's what I am appreciating. Here's what you did that shows me your kindness. It shows me how thoughtful you are, and et cetera. I'm going to really have X-ray vision to see the greatness in another human being and put it into words, even if it kills me. You know, most people don't have that language.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a stretch. I understand that. But I believe we inherently, I mean, after all, think of, you've heard me say at a funeral service, people memorialize people and they go on and on with stories and they say, they don't just say he was funny. That person had this incredible nuanced sense of humor. Here's, and then they explain, we know it's there inside us. Why wait for the funeral? Let's have early onset greatness. And the second part of that is we also seem to fall asleep when there aren't problems. So
mm-hmm.
not only can we get better at seeing the little portions of goodness that we would normally just say thank you to, give that much more, but we could be equally, if not more, aware of when problems aren't happening and saying, yeah, I mean, the truth is I'm on a podcast with you and I think the world of you having met you those two occasions you mentioned. But even though we think the world of each other, I have no control over the way you operate. You could be asking me harsh questions. You could be mean-spirited. You could be kind of yelling at me. I couldn't stop you if that's what your intention was. I'm so appreciative that you're choosing to be with me in a very uplifting way, in an inspiring way. That's not just happening. That's happening because of you. You have that great quality of being inspiring. And I really appreciate that you're not doing anything that could get in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we could take advantage of when problems aren't happening to see the truth that's staring us in the face. And then the third aspect of Nurtured Heart is what I call the third stand is absolutely clear. You know, if a line is crossed, you know, if you were to say something rude right now, I would either privately to myself or say out loud, if it was a child, I'd say reset. And to me, that's me resetting me. It's, you know, yes, that child, that person, you know, got under my skin. They said something upsetting, but I'm not going to give, I am going to deliberately unplug. I'm not giving the gift of me to that. I'm saying reset. And to me, that's the consequence. I am just simply turning away and waiting for now this kid is not being rude. So it could be a half a second. What we wanted in the first place, what we wanted all along was for the good manners, for the child not to be rude. Now we're getting it. We gave a consequence of resetting and unplugging.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm plugging back in and saying, hey, kiddo, I don't know how you did it. You were still mad at me, but now you're not being rude.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not saying angry things. Now you're not blurting things out. Thank you for that decision. You're making a great choice. So I'm just going, it's almost like I'm micromanaging the molecular structure of time,
mm-hmm.
and taking advantage of it. And it turns out people They don't need a formal education to do this. They don't need to have studied psychology. People get good at this very quickly. And some people have monumental change in their kids' lives, which is so much fun.
Yes, and I think their kids' life and their own life, right? I do believe that we have a like a common negative bias, not just with
Yes.
kids, but in life, right?
What a
So
great way of saying it. It's a common negative bias. It's true.
yes, and I think we've been programmed that way. Of course, in some places in the world that might not be the case, and some families and some people, but I think
I hope so.
yeah, in a social or in this social world we live in, it's meant to target our attention to the negative things, right? And we see that also in our education, and we see that also in the family. So I found this approach
And politics.
and politics too, yes. So I do find this approach very interesting and important, so we can actually turn that needle to the positive side. I think by taking this approach, even if we don't have kids, just focusing, as you were saying, like I think you're someone who, not just because being in this podcast, like you live what you preach, and not just with kids, right? You're telling me all these beautiful things that I know they come from your heart, and I know you mean them. And how we, if in every situation we would do that and focus more on the positive sides. And also, it's like every time we focus in something that we don't want, we're still focusing our attention there. And whatever we focus on, it grows. So how it's obvious now, if we have that mindset, that if we focus on all the negative things that our children do, even if it's our students or our kids, that will grow too. And I think that's something that's not in the mind of many, many people, even teachers or parents, that how important it is to focus and enhance that dialogue and that the words that inspire others to be I don't want to say better, but to bring the best out of them, by
Yes.
just telling them, right? As
It's
you.
not, it's not, I'm sorry,
No,
please.
yes, go.
It's not ignoring problems.
Exactly.
It's not pretending they didn't happen. It's not being, unicorns and rainbows. That doesn't appeal to me. It's being real. And maybe the product of it, like you're saying, is what I call inner wealth. An accumulation over time of the child awakening. Oh, I am respectful. And then being able to call on it. You can't withdraw money from a bank account. You have nothing in. If you have inner wealth, you have more to draw on. So when life gets hard or challenging, or kids inevitably are going to be exposed to social media. Tough stuff, big decisions, and it's so much easier if you have some inner wealth to draw upon, where in a residing way, you're caring, you're deliberate in your choosing, you're patient with yourself, all these great qualities, being kind and compassionate, it's central to that. Life is just a little sweeter and more accessible. And I believe kids have better, much better outcomes no matter what they do.
Totally.
They believe in themselves. And I haven't seen anything that's contrary, that's going to hurt them. It doesn't mean they're going to choose the things we want them to choose. I think kids who have a strong account of inner wealth, they're going to live their true self. And that might be the toughest thing parents have to, get used to, but if you really start seeing the beauty in your child and putting it into appreciative words, then you see them, making a career choice or a a friend choice that doesn't make sense in the beginning, you're still going to be applauding them because it's taught me to be appreciative. You know, raising a child, my child's now 34, it's definitely taught me to be that much more open. You know, she's gone on a path that's, you know, she could have chosen anything in the world. And I hope I would have applauded all as much for every single choice along the way. And I'm happy to see her happy doing what she cared about.
Totally. And I think how we, as you talk about this method and the words you use, I am truly a believer on the power of language and the power of words. And I think so many times this is not just to, I think when we change the mindset also, that is not for us as adults and parents for them to be better, right? It's not like, oh, he will behave better or she will behave better. Like, how can I actually spark that light in our children, in the kids? And I think the way you craft the message and the words you use and this appreciation is giving them also the tools so they can understand, one, as I've heard you today and the other days that I've heard you, like, you're making these decisions or you're appreciating the decision. And I think that's also something that makes the kid clear about that, oh, it's my decision. It's not that I'm angry or sad because of whatever external is. I'm deciding to do this or feel like this. So that actually, without saying the word responsibility, actually makes the kid responsible of their own actions or their decisions. And I think that's something really important to help them grow and help them improve. And the other thing that you mentioned is like being appreciative and kind of highlighting all the good stuff they are doing is you're also giving them vocabulary to know their qualities. And what I'm responsible, yeah. I'm good for this. I am super thoughtful. I was just talking in a radio interview just a couple of hours ago that they were asking a person, name 50 qualities of yours. And it was like, wow, that's a lot, right? For people that are not tuned in with their own qualities.
Right.
What if we, instead of saying all the things that they are wrong, we start highlighting the things and the qualities of these children? And actually, because I also seen some videos that you shared, but also knowing that we are taking them into a path that is not our path, as you said, is not what's good for us, but that it's leading them to grow with that confidence and with that a strength to know that they can do many things, right? That they are good for many things. And I think that's something we lack in society as a whole, that we are trying to put them into boxes of being productive, of being good at things that we believe are good, but we never stop to ask if that's really good for us and for them, right?
Yeah, I you know, I've come to believe that if we can reveal these qualities that show up in the moment that we might not ordinarily see and they might never see, you know, a child lowered their music so that their sister can study. They may not even know they did it, but they did it. And if we could say, I want to just tell you something important. That was respectful, whether you realize it or not. You did something that was really, we've been talking a lot about, we've been hearing things about loving kindness. That was loving kindness. You have that quality. And in some concerns of adults, one is that the world's not that way. It's going to set this child up for failure. Nobody's going to be that way. What I've noticed is kids who have the strength derived from inner wealth, they go out and create their own world. They find those friends who could be supportive. They exist. They find people who create the sphere they want to operate in, or they create their own sphere of operation. And I've seen that again and again. So I know a lot of people are exposed to a rougher way of being brought up, and they think that they're gonna, kids best learn from fear. I don't. I've come to see that that is loaded with side effects. If you're familiar with the ACEs study, kids who grow up. They might grow up saying, "Oh, well, it worked on me, that rough upbringing," but it actually didn't. It comes with health problems. It comes with susceptibility to drug and alcohol. It comes with baggage. And a much better way for a kid to emerge into a combination of who they are and what they stand for. It could be learned in childhood. When it's the side effect of being seen in this positive way.
I do think, Howie, that's a really important point, and maybe it's not the core of our episode, but how we create our reality, right? And I've heard so many people, as mostly many people have heard, right? That no, I will set him up for failure, as you said. And it's impressive to see how our beliefs create our world. So I think instead of questioning the outer tools, as it might be nurture heart approach, right? I know this is not going to work because the world is not as kind, the world is not as like, how if we start questioning our own beliefs about the world, right? What if the world could be that kind and I'm preparing my kid to be that world changer of our world being kind and finding those people that are kind, because you and me that live, I think, in this world that's sustained by consciousness, by happiness, that is not a fake happiness. It's like going to the Quran,
Oh, thank
acknowledging
you.
many, many things, right? So I think we find each other, we find people who is also happy and they have also other moments of sadness of, but we support each other and we know that there's kindness, right? Since I entered this world of on the World Happiness Foundation and before, because that was my synchrony, I encounter people so amazing, so kind, so brave, so strong. And I do think we are creating a different world. So what if instead of questioning these methods of happiness, of kindness, of compassion, we start questioning the what's always being done, right? So I think that's super important and something to start questioning about this, right? So what happens, Howie, when you encounter teachers or parents that tell you, no, this is not going to work because the world isn't kind, or what has been the results? Because I know you work with many schools, many teachers, many parents. So,
Yeah.
do you have any case in which they were not believers at all in this and they transformed
Oh, many, many, many,
one
many,
or
many,
two?
many. Yeah, many. Maybe I could construct a little compilation. A lot of the majority of people who find my work do it out of desperation because. Even if they've studied, I know any number of therapists, and I know any number of educators who, go figure, the luck of the draw, they had a particularly intense child, and then, they might have skated by with, there are a lot of ordinary, well-intentioned approaches to interaction out there, but, push came to shove when their child became an adolescent or a teenager, and it just became, so alarming and detrimental in their lives. And they, however they do searching, they searched and found, transforming the difficult child, or I have a workbook, transforming the intense child, and it lit a fire in them, and they go, oh my God, this flies in the face of everything I've been doing, and It's turned my child around. I don't know how I had lost hope. I just felt like, and I think there's an epidemic of well-intentioned, loving adults who see their kids drift away, drift away, drift away. And the harder they try with a lot of ordinary methods, the worse it gets, because they're kind of begging their child, you know, or commandeering their child, you know, to come back and get reconnected. And all of that, the problem with all that is it all happens through adversity. It happens during the negativity, so it deepens the hole they're in, which is the child believing they get more relationship, they get a more emotional, they get a more alive, they get a more adamant version of the adult when things are going wrong. And that's what I'm fighting to turn around. I want the child to come to see that doesn't exist anymore. They get a more alive, they get a better broadband connection with the adult when things are going right. That's what I'm fighting for. And that's what they're fighting for. So there are so many parents who've come to it on their own. You know, there's a couple of ways I explain things that are designed to have the bell go, you know, the ring and the light bulb go off. And I'm happy to share those, but I think for some reason I'm not afraid of that. When a parent comes to me and says it's going to ruin this child, I don't want to talk, you know, I don't, you know, or I can't be positive, I'm not wired that way. It turns out they can be.
Yes.
They've been trying to be positive all along. They just didn't have a proper way of doing it.
I love that. I think that's what happens to us all in so many different ways, right? We want to, we just don't know how.
Isn't the same true for ourselves? You know, we want to be positive with ourselves, but if we really put ourselves under the microscope, it turns out, you know, I realized, you know, a couple of decades ago, wow, that's incredible. I have more deeper, more long-lasting conversations with myself when I'm in the midst of a problem than when I think I'm a positive person, but I barely say anything to myself when something good happens. You know, that just kind of flits by. But as soon as something wrong happens or hard happens, I think nothing of spending hours, you know, emotional, thoughtful hours. So that's the frontier I've been working on, is trying to work with this difficult child. You know, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror is, you know, can we make, you know, I've been trying to apply that same approach to myself.
And I think that's
maybe what you noticed in Bhutan was decades of me working at that. I guess I feel like, okay, that's the reason why I'm here. Make some gain.
Yes, and I think that's key, how it's not that we are preaching something that we haven't done with ourselves. And also what you say, like, how we see, how people see ourselves today, it's the result of all the work we have been doing for so long, right? The Howie I saw in Bhutan, the Howie I see here, the Paulina you see now, it's the result of many years of self-work and of switching so many things inside. So I think that's also very important. And as we always talk about this, how do we want to heal someone if we are not healed? Right? How do we want to help someone if we're not helping ourselves? So in order to do all that job with children, and even if they are students or if they are our kids, like, we also need to do that inner, to the mirror, the man or the woman in the mirror, as you were saying.
Yeah, it's hopefully a little of it is baked into, you know, I for years, I didn't know any different. I never asked the parent to examine themselves. You know, it was never that I didn't work directly with children. I worked with the adults. It was always the adults making the appointments. It was always the adults paying the bills. It was never the child calling up and saying, "I got a problem with my parents." So hopefully when I taught Stan One, don't give relationship and energy and connection to negativity, and I taught them how to reset themselves. They were getting a little awareness of, oh, I have this surging energy in me. My child called me a name, and that made me mad, and I want to just lecture them for an hour on why not to say bad words. What I've been more deliberately teaching in the last decade was is when you get that surge of energy, all thoughts, all emotions, all sensations in your body, it's all energy. You could take that energy while you're resetting. This is what I want to do for me. I want to take all the energies of life and somehow delude myself that I could breathe that in. And what do I want to do with it? I have this energy. It's like food. It's like nourishment. What seeds do I want to plant with it? I want to, what do I want? I want to be more considerate. I want to be more thoughtful. I want to be more deliberate. I want to have better self-control when it comes to some decisions I make in my life. Can I plant those seeds and water them by way of that same energy that could drive me crazy and take me down? Can I breathe it in and go, okay, I am the greatness of being thoughtful and considerate and deliberate and making good decisions for the benefit of self-control? And I believe if I energize that, just like breathing, we breathe air, and even if it's cruddy air, we get oxygen, and we don't say, "Oh, phooey, I'm not going to send oxygen to my fingertips." We have this internal automated system of benefiting our body. What if we did the same with energy? As we're breathing air, we're breathing energy, and sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's joyful, but can we take a little bits, not every last, ever not we don't need to get everything that's there. We get little bits and pieces. We don't need to get every bit of oxygen in every breath, but as well as we can we create wellness in ourselves by being deliberate?
And that's the resetting part, right?
That to me is the resetting, and it's the growing part. I want to grow. I want to see. I think we're here to find out how great great can be. Like maybe in your family, in your neighborhood, your community, nobody's met anybody like Paulina. Nobody's seen anybody with the same flair you have. The same joyful flair, the desire to teach and live happiness as you. And you turn heads for that reason. People see you, and maybe you're the leading person in your community with that flair, and still you're fascinated and you're interviewing people like myself to see, can I heighten that? Can I heighten that? Can I heighten that? Can I heighten that? How great can that greatness be? I am Paulina with the flair for happiness. And it might turn out that beyond your community, it's your region, it's your country, it's your countries, a person of the world. And you become, I believe, as we grow ourselves, we become that much more influential.
Totally.
Our energies just become that much more expansive, and we could play into that. We can live the life we want to live.
Yes, I totally agree with you, and I think that's super important, Howie, and how we as it's not resetting the child, right? It's resetting ourselves. so we can be better for our children. And I think that's something that we might start integrating in ourselves from this podcast and so on. And I would invite you, Howie, what would be a last thought in this episode? Of course, we can continue the conversation in many ways. But for this episode, what would be a last thought you want to leave, maybe as a tool, maybe as a reminder, as whatever you want, to the parents and teachers or anyone who is in engaging with a kid and with children?
You know, I would say it's so much easier than we've been led to believe to be truly influential. And we just are weavers. You know, if you're a teacher, teach the lesson, come up, just like we walk and talk and breathe, you know, the breath is a reset. We, you know, you could teach a sentence or two of a lesson and you can then go, oh, class, listen up. I want to tell you about what you're doing that I really love. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm appreciating. You know, you're all being super involved in your lesson. That shows me that you care to learn. You are being excellent learners right now. That shows respect. That shows kindness to yourself, and it shows teamwork to your other students in the class. And then continue on with the lesson for another paragraph. Come up for air. Mm-hmm. You know, we wouldn't last very long if we didn't come up for air. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't enjoy the hike in the, you know, along the beach unless we did left foot, right foot. You know, at some point we fail if we forget. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of a fun walk or a fun day is that we remember to breathe and remember to go left foot, right foot. Same with appreciation. Weave it in. Have fun and weave it in, and you'll see kids light up. Mm-hmm. I'll end there.
Oh, wonderful. I love that. And I totally think it's something very important for us to start accommodating. And it's as simple and difficult as we can believe, right? Appreciation sounds so simple. And it is simple. It's just like we are not wired to appreciation. And I think for some, even for the kids, if we change from one day to another to appreciation, and we know we'll be maybe punishing or just kind of giving them what they are doing wrong, they might be like, what is this? What's happening to our teachers, right? Parents, right? But I think it's the start, and then it's better that they get used to appreciation and for you highlighting what's good, and it will turn. And I think that's what we need in our world. And I'm very appreciative to that people like you, like Sagara, that I know, because if you knew also Sagara and if you know Howie too, it's, they are two of the people that I'm like with more kindness in their hearts. And they really represent what they are teaching and what they are saying in the different spaces that we are in. So I'm super thankful, Howie, for you to accept the invitation to our podcast and to the events we do, because we are really happy to have you there and here in the podcast. And what would you recommend, like, people who are struggling, yeah, and even I think if they are not struggling with any kid, I think these are useful tools and very important tools for anyone working with children and maybe even with ourselves and adults to be appreciative. How can they start, or where can they find these more of the tools that you just shared today?
Yeah, my workplace is Nurtured Heart Institute. NurturedHeartInstitute.com, and you can find a lot of resources, some free trainings, some trainings that would, if you get excited about this, you could become a teacher of this work. So there are resources, and there are lots of books, and they'll be on the that website, NurturedHeartInstitute.com. Thanks for asking that.
Yes, we will also post it. And I think this kind of, we have also in the foundation, the initiative and the program of Schools of Happiness, that we would love also to integrate part of heart, nurture heart approach, because I do think it's something very important for us to start integrating. This is a shift in paradigms. I love working with paradigms, and this is something we need to shift in order to create a different reality. So
I want to say one more thing. I'm so honored to be in, been asked to walk in the world of happiness, the Happiness Foundation, the World Happiness Foundation, and some of the conferences I've gotten to been to. And I'm convinced that when a child's stuck in that habit, that belief, I get more out of life through negativity, it's very hard for them to be happy in an authentic way. You know, they delude themselves to happiness in kind of ways that are problematic. And I believe a byproduct of inner wealth is true happiness, real happiness, sweet happiness.
I agree with that, because I think it's not how we get happiness from the outside, right? And we put more layers, but it's what actually we take off what's taking away our happiness. And that inner wealth that you're saying, it just goes right through it. So I'm glad you said that, because that's something super important. And we were just talking about that today, about like how this toxic positivity and how happiness has become more of a trend instead of something that you can actually cultivate. And it doesn't mean that you need to be happy all the time. But I think we can be those guidance for kids too, and for ourselves, to discover that power that we have to enhance our own happiness, and don't look for it outside.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect. I love that. And to all the people listening to this, you already are pioneers of this frontier of happiness. You obviously are loving, caring human beings, and there is no other excuse for why anybody would come to a podcast like this if you didn't truly want a better world. And that's a beautiful vantage point and attitude that I applaud in you.
Thank you very
great
much.
To your great listeners.
Thank
your
you.
Great listeners.
Yes. Cheers for that, Javi, and thank you very much for being here in this space that I actually, even if we are not in the same place, I feel your energy, and I'm so glad that we can also share that beautiful energy you have with all our audience. So thank you very much, Javi, for being here, and thank you all for listening. See you next episode.